So we could ponder the ways of the universe and selfishness, but my experience is it wasn't working. My life was not working, without question. I needed something different.
I'm relaxed and I'm ready. And
cool.
Yeah.
So, page 76 in English is the seven-step prayer. You want to keep going?
Yeah.
Seven-step prayer is just a restatement of that decision you made in the third step. Now that you've seen the truth, you've seen the selfishness and self-centeredness, you still want to do this.
Yes.
Okay. The seven-step prayer is in the second paragraph?
No.
Okay, you lead, I'll follow.
My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
Okay, now we get into action. I believe at the back of your packet there's one more sheet of paper. What you're going to do is, and I'm going to give you the directions for it. We're going to go through the directions in the book for the VA step, but we're not going to take the time to do that now. What you're going to do is take all of the names in the first column on your inventory and put them in one of four columns. Four columns are now, maybe,
later,
now, later, maybe, never. Now means I have forgiven and I'm ready to make amends now. Later means, yeah, I'm going to make amends to this person, but let me do some of the easy ones first.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe is, I'm not so sure I'm willing to forgive or willing to make amends. Yes?
I have a question about the maybe and the never. I was thinking, would it be selfish of me to start contacting some of the people that I heard that I know have moved on in their lives, and then maybe to say, hi, I was unfaithful to you, and now they're married and have kids, and like, really? You're my first girlfriend? Were you really? I mean, would it be maybe better to say, okay, I want to maybe write a letter and not post it, and just say, I'm sorry?
Let's go through the directions. And we'll get to the answer to that. Okay, and if I don't answer it, make sure you remind me. Okay? Good question. Okay, so now, later, maybe. I'm not so sure I'll ever make amends to that. We're looking at our willingness and our ability to forgive. We're not looking at, is this a good idea? This is about our willingness and readiness to make amends. And then never. No way am I ever making amends to that person. No way. They go in the never column. Our job is to become willing to make amends. Once we become willing, remember that step three and that prayer we just said? Seven step? Once we become willing, we don't just go barge out and make amends. We always go to God in all things, and that includes making amends, because we don't know necessarily when making amends to somebody will harm them or not. So we always pray first. So I'm going to go through and hit some of the highlights. What I would do now at this point is have Julia read pages 76 to 83 about amends, fill out the paper, we would talk about these highlights, and then I'd have her call me back and we'd talk about amends. For now, I'm going to go hit the highlights just so we can talk about it, and then I will talk about one amends with her. We have till what time? I have it right here. Yeah, okay. So closing is at 5 o'clock. Okay, so, all right. So I'm going to move quickly. Okay, so key. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and those about us. We came in here thinking, I'll do anything to stop eating compulsively, and now we find out the way to do that is to live a life of service. So we never make amends unless we have a sincere desire to set right the wrong. We don't just go make amends to people and say, I'm sorry for whatever because my life depends upon it and I gotta say these words. No, we have to have a sincere, this is, amends means to change. So what we're doing is looking to clean up our past, not just to go around saying I'm sorry. We go in a helpful and forgiving spirit, and as I said before, forgive means to be free of resentment, one of the definitions, and I need to be free of resentment. So nobody would go in the now column unless I'm forgiven. What we do is we're going to say, we'll never get over compulsive eating until we've done our best to clean up the wreckage of the past. In words that you can own, it probably would be in Danish, you would say, I've been selfish and self-centered in our relationship and I apologize, and ask, how can I make it right? And then be quiet and listen. We're not going to go into a laundry list of things we have done, because that would be harmful. They were there. They know what you did. I didn't go through with my daughter. I didn't go through all of the horrific things I had done to her in her life. She knows. She didn't want to hear it. But I listened to every word that she had to say. Most of them were a lot easier than that. So we're going to... I think that's pretty much it. You know, it's a real simple statement. We're not... If we owe money, if we've stolen, we'd go with money in hand, set up a payment plan, or pay whatever it is that we owe for money we owe for whatever reason. We're not going to go to a former boyfriend, husband, lover, whatever, and interfere in their lives. Our job right now is to become willing. So if I'm willing, you know, I've harmed so-and-so people in relationships, your example. You know, if you've harmed them, you're not going to go and say, gee, I had an affair. If they didn't, you know, if your husband doesn't know you've had an affair, you're not going to go to him and say, I'm having an affair. Because that would hurt them. And we don't hurt others just to save our lives. What you might do, and direct are always in writing or in person or in writing. They're direct. You hear a lot of things often about indirect amends. Is that the word? I guess. Yeah, indirect amends. It's been a while since I've actually heard that. But that's not what the big book talks about. It doesn't talk about making a donation to somebody because you did something. We go to the person we've harmed. If we've gossiped about somebody, if I've told people all kinds of things about you, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to say, you know, I've been selfish and self-centered. You know, I spoke out of turn. I said things to make myself feel better. Had nothing to do with you, and I'm sorry. Yes?
So what if the person then says, it's been years or something, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I forgot. What is it? Can you explain?
I'm doing this work, and, you know, I've just been really selfish and self-centered. I can see that. It's the way I went through my life, and I'm sorry. Just kind of restate what you've already said. You don't need to go into details. And they'll say, I think you're crazy, maybe. Or they'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. Or just keep doing what you're doing. Or I just want you to be happy. You know, most people are like, but that, which is why we tell them what we're doing. If we just go up to somebody and say, I've been selfish, you know, it's like, huh? You know, but if you say, I'll never get over compulsive eating, I'm doing this work, whatever makes sense, whatever, you know. Yes?
I've been told that as well, and then I think, then it's selfish to tell, for me to recover as a compulsive overeater. That's why I make the amends, instead of keeping that for myself, and just say selfish, self-centered. Because then it's like I have to tell them, they don't have to say okay for what I did, but I have to explain why I'm doing this. And it says in the book as well. And what I thought about it was so more people could get to know about these fellowships.
It is. It's a way of 12-stepping. Now I've opened up myself so that you know I'm in OA. And if you or your mother or your sister or your best friend need help, you know where to send them. So we're still, it is still a way of doing service. There's also, you know, I'm doing spiritual work. If we're not telling people we're compulsive eaters because we're embarrassed, we don't want people to know, we're afraid or something like that, we're going to get to the 10th step and we need to do our work. But if we pray and it makes sense for whatever reason to say this or to say that, we follow God's guidance. But when you, if you're not saying, here's the specific details of what I did and dragging them through it all over again, you got to tell them something about why you're there. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, what are you talking about?
Because it's been on my mind for several years.
It's sitting in my system.
Yeah. I don't have to explain I'm an overeater to a relationship that really don't care. And I'm doing this for my recovery, okay, then I think it's selfish again.
And if that, and it is selfish. It is, I mean, is it any less selfish if you don't tell him your motive?
It is. I agree.
I mean, we're doing this for ourselves. We're not doing it to save a relationship. We're not doing it for anything else. We are doing this.
I heard it like it's my my life savior. It's like I know that they know. So if they see me stuffing myself, they will know that this is not the path I want to follow. Because I say it out loud. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have a food addiction, and that is why it's putting myself free.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what harmed me, because I really want to change, not have listened to them when they have spoken, because I've been so occupied with my food or with my weight, and that is why I'm there.
Oh, but I think, Brendan, with the relationship, maybe this person knew and maybe they didn't know about overeating, or maybe you were not overeating at that time, but later in your life. Then they don't know. Oh, I was overeating while we were together. No, actually.
But
I wasn't.
In the big book it says, I will never recover. And that's why I'm here. We are not doing it to get good feeds.
No.
We are doing it because we will never recover. And
yeah.
That is why I need to tell you why I'm here.
Yeah, because I need to recover.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to help me. Can you understand my question?
Yeah, no, it's not. You have to help me. I'm here because I'm in a mess of life, and I'm walking around sweeping up my mess. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to you, and I'm coming to you, and I'm going to you, and all that. And I'm doing it because my life depends upon it. I need to clear up the stuff that blocks me from God. And, you know, and if you don't like it and you kick me out, that's okay, because I'm doing what I need to do. It is selfish. Yeah, I work this program because I'm selfish. Yes?
I guess that's why I need to be honest and to really feel bad about what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It tells me I really need to be ready to go out, make amends. Because mm-hmm. it's from the heart, I do it. Yes, my purpose is, I'm telling them I'm in this process to become free. But I really, from my heart, is sorry for what I did. I was selfish and self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
So I give them, and I heard Gilbert at times that he sometimes said to people that if I could have done differently, I would surely have done that. And if I could have done it all over, I will sure have done it differently.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to make it up to you? And if I do it from a pure heart, I can see people if they mean it from a pure heart.
Sure.
So that's why it's so important that I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once I only had one making a ninth step on me in the beginning of away, my away time. And she was from away and she said, "Do you have 5 minutes?" "Yeah, I do." It was in a break for a convent like this. She said, "Yeah, I just have to say I'm sorry, I never, never, ever liked you." Okay. Du ved, yeah, you start, you know, but I know it's my problem. Okay. Okay. Yeah, good, now that's settled. So fucked up.
How not to make amends.
So mm-hmm. this is a good training spot.
Exactly.
Because I also experienced that someone told me how they felt about me, and then she said, "And now we hug," and I felt like, no. So it's a good experience, because when I go to my family, then I know what I'm there for, because I tried it. People mm-hmm. trying to do it. Give it to me, and I've tried, so I have a little bit of experience.
Yeah, it's usually one of those easy ones that go on the list in the now column. So, okay, that's amends. Step 10. Okay, we're gonna start. Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go on, do you want to talk through one of your amends, or do you have one that you know you're ready to make?
Well, I think definitely my near family, my close family, I should make okay. amends to them. But I think I'm pretty cool about what to do now.
You're ready to do it? Okay. Okay. And Okay. Okay, so here are your directions. Step 10. This is what you need to be doing and how you need to live forever. Keep practicing so that you never have to eat compulsively again. So, we're going to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We don't ask Him to remove them at once. We ask Him at once. So we ask at once, and He'll remove it on His time. We discuss them with someone immediately. So I tell people, you can call me, email, send a text, Skype, smoke signals, whatever you want. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So the idea is, it's not about going out and doing a bunch of good deeds, because let me tell you, I can go out, do a bunch of good deeds, and look at me, aren't I special, you know, I'm handing out food to the homeless, and I'm picking up trash in the park, and, you know, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Don't you think? Yeah, no. I need to turn my thoughts. That's still me thinking about me and what I look like. What I need to do is turn my thoughts to others, you know, whatever it is, however I can be of service. I need to stop thinking about me, because I think way too much about myself, and start thinking about you. Okay, so that's step 10. And how can I best serve thee, thy will not mine be done, is the thought that must go with us constantly. So we need to start practicing being in constant conscious contact with God. What I did for the first 6 months when I started practicing this is I had this image of two little girls, did I say this yesterday? Two little girls holding hands, skipping down the street, and they're chitter-chattering back and forth. And that's how I imagined myself going through life with God. I was just constantly just talking to God. I remember one day I was skipping into the Board of Education for a meeting, Nobody was around, I hope. But I was skipping into the building, you know, and talking to God, and I thought, wait a minute, that's an image. That's not how we actually are going through. But it's okay. But, you know, just talking to God, I'd be thinking, I want. Now, what I want doesn't mean diddly. God, what do you want? I'm going to this meeting now, God. I ask only for knowledge of your will for me and the power to carry it out. I'm very informal in the way I talk to God. Yes?
Diddly?
Oh, diddly. Doesn't mean anything, but it's just kind of one of those, it's a nonsense word. So a lot of times somebody will tell me, you know, they'll call me up and they say, I want, and I'll just answer with, if what I want doesn't mean diddly, what you want surely doesn't mean diddly. If I don't care about what I want, I don't care about what you want. What's God want? No, diddly doesn't mean anything. It means nothing.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. So I would just be constantly chattering with God. I had, at the time I started doing this, there was somebody that really bothered me that I worked with. I didn't like his ethics. I didn't like the way he operated. I didn't like the way he schemed. I didn't like anything about him. So I was driving to this meeting one day, and I'm talking to God the whole way there, and I'm saying, all right, God, you know, I'm going to the meeting. He's going to be there. The best plan I have is to walk in and kick him in the shins. You'd think I do a lot of kicking. Dog's shins. I said, you know, God, I'm willing to do it your way, but you're going to have to show me how, because I don't know. That's the best I got right now. So, you know, I just keep talking to God all day long, and I practiced remembering to be talking to God. I'm going to answer the phone, God. Your word's through me. I'm going to go do this now. Show me how to do it, God. You know, just constant, constant, constant. So that when selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear cropped up, it started to become a natural thing just to go straight to God. And then the same thing, going from God to sponsor, and then turning my thoughts. The 11th step, at night, we're going to do a review. We're going to review how well we practiced the 10th step during the day. So we go through a series of questions that should sound familiar from 10th step. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? If I've already done the 10th step during the day, it's done. It's over with. We don't have to go back and resurrect every stupid thing we did during the day. Somebody started keeping notes throughout the day of all so that you could report it at night and be perfect and not, don't do it. If it's gone, it's gone. We don't need to remember this stuff. We need to do the action when it crops up, and then it's done. Do we owe an apology? If I've made an apology during the day, it's done. I don't owe it. It's over. Now, for me, one of my incidents was I was walking out of a pet store once, and as I was going through the door, there was a woman coming through with two big dogs on leashes, and she was having a hard time containing them. And my first thought was, what do you expect when you take dogs into a store? And I got through the doorway, and I thought, oh boy, is that selfish, Joni. And I asked God to remove it, and I kept going. When I reviewed my day at night, I thought, you know, you owe that woman an amends. And let me tell you, I am perfectly willing to make amends. You know, I wouldn't know her if I bumped into her. If I did, I would make amends right then on the spot. But let me tell you, when I go through a doorway now, and there's somebody with dogs or packages or kids, I'm much more likely to hold that door, give them space, you know, help them out now wherever I can. Because that happened a long time ago, and I remember it because I need to, because I'm a selfish person, and I could easily go back to, you know, like, shoving my way to be first. And it didn't work well. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person? If I've called my sponsor and talked to her when I had, you know, when the selfishness cropped up, it's done. Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? So it gives us a chance to reflect on our day and say, you know, I need to slow down a little bit and talk to God a little bit more often, or whatever it is, and see what we've missed. Then on awakening, we think about our 24 hours ahead. Do you have any questions about 10 step, or no. I'm just going on without you?
That's fine. That's beautiful. Joey?
Yes.
When
yes.
You suggested me to have a little card in my whatever, maybe it's all cards to remember this. So when it cropped up, I couldn't take my little card and do the directions just to get used to it. Do you do that?
I don't. I have heard people that do that, and that's fine. I probably wouldn't send you a template. What I would do is say, go into the book and, you know, copy it down. What I like to do is make sure people are in the book, so that this just becomes, you know, an extension of your arm, so that you're used to going into the book. I don't like handing out a whole bunch of, you know, like somebody started putting all that stuff so you could just cut it out, print it and cut it out.
She didn't do that.
Right. No. Was it Barbara? Yeah, she wouldn't do that.
I made it myself.
Right. So, you know, anything that we make ourselves, you know, is great to, you know, to remind ourselves. And if we make notes for ourselves that we've taken out of the book, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying don't put anything in writing, you know.
Also because there's many directions after to the 10th and 11th step, and I was totally confused. Oh, and new habits on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
What was I supposed to do now and in the morning? And then,
right. So then on awakening, we're going to think about our 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. I love to add specifically asking God to direct my eating, divorcing it of selfish, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Because I need to remember that, because it's when selfishness is going to crop up, it's all for me, it's going to show first in my eating. And then immediately thereafter, or simultaneously, it's going to show up in the way I'm talking to people and the way I'm going through the world and all that. But it's always going to show up in my eating and my food. I've never just eaten to nourish my body. I've never done that. I've eaten for so many other reasons. So this is new to me. It's a new way of living, and I need to let God be in charge, and I need to consciously ask Him for that. And it tells us that under these conditions, we employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. So in the second step, we were asking to be restored to sanity. The sanity came. I do this all the time on this one. The sanity came after the 10th step. By this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested, and the problem's been removed. After the 11th step, now we don't just have our sanity, we have our brains, you know, so our thinking is clearing up. If we face indecision about something, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision, and then we relax and take it easy. We spend some time in meditation and just listen to God. And then it tells us what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. That's a promise. It's telling me that I can, for me, in my words, I can trust my gut. I can trust what I know. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God It's not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. In other words, I'm probably not going to do this perfectly. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. The book promises me that. That's pretty cool. We have a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. And then the other part, so the 11th step is not just morning and night and we go about our day. The 11th step also says we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. So whenever I don't know what to do, whenever I open the refrigerator and I'm staring in, I pause and I ask for the right thought or action. Doesn't matter what it is. And then the 12th step is being of service. And we talked about, we've done the foundation meeting, and you've seen me take her through the steps. So, first, do you have any questions?
Actually, no.
Cool. If you did, you know where to find me.
I'm sure something will come up, but no,
I would expect so. Yeah. It usually does. And anybody? Yes.
3 questions.
Okay.
Actually, the most important is the 9-step examples, because I've heard a lot of speakers, a lot of big book studies, a lot of at the 9-step promises. But actually, these examples, as I heard you just tell them, self-centered and selfish, that's it. That's like 10 seconds to say.
How can I make it right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's it for all of your examples of your 9 steps, because I've never... They talk about 9 steps and jump into it like you did now because you couldn't make one. But actually, it's those examples I would like, and it's also for the 9 steps to make those amends that a lot of people really don't get to do for years.
Like Gita said, you know, if I go to my mom, I'm going to say a little bit more. I'm going to say, Ma, I'm really sorry that this has happened. You know, I'm so sorry. I wish it hadn't. I wish it could have been different. I can't change what's been, but I can certainly change what's going forward. Or you didn't deserve to be treated that way. Or. You know, you can personalize it, but the core piece is that we're admitting our selfishness, we're apologizing. We don't ask them for anything. You may say, you know, to my mom, I might, you know, say, I hope you can forgive me, but I don't ask her to forgive me. I don't ask for anything other than how do I make it right?
Almost the same procedure to all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Then I have 2 more.
Go ahead.
The spiritual awakening, is that when I'm not eating compulsively anymore, I can see I'm not doing that? Or because a lot of people say, well, have I had a spiritual awakening? I don't know. Can I then sponsor or whatever?
Julia has the solution now. She's been through the steps. She never has to eat compulsively again. Mm-hmm. On page in English, if you follow these directions, on page 85 in English, we will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. These are promises. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we maintain fit spiritual condition.
That's
And that's how, by doing 10, 11, and 12. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Yes?
My last question is absolutely nothing to do with all this, but maybe still it has. If you're still overweight year after year after year, would you then think you would be in the spiritual condition? Because that's not the
Why are you overweight? Why am I overweight? I can tell you, you can believe me or not, I have not eaten compulsively since 2001. I'm not as heavy as I once was. I gained weight. I was lower weight and gained weight on the food plan. I have been losing, we measure in pounds and ounces. So I said, well, I need to just measure in ounces because that's the snail's pace that I'm losing at. I'm working the program to the best of my understanding. I'm dealing with medical issues, and I eat better than most people do. And that's not said in a, you know, I'm great. I'm really serious about nutrition, and using it to heal. And I'm not, and I think, and I want, you know, selfishly to be the right weight. I'm not. Does that mean I'm not in fit spiritual condition? I'm very happy with where I am spiritually. You know, I can't make the weight go away. I've threatened to take a scissors and get told that's not the answer. You know.
But if I stay in my weight, it's like a lot of kilos. It's not healthy for me, for my liver.
Can you fix? Can you change your weight? Can you heal your liver if you're an alcoholic? Or can you just live in a healthy way and follow, if it means medical advice, follow medical orders and directions and do what you're supposed to do and hope the liver will heal and hope the weight will go away? Can you make it go away? If you can, I want to know how. I mean, some people, all they have to do is stop eating compulsively and the weight's gone.
You just have to run.
I have to heal my ankle before I can run. I would love to. But, you know, and I know that it's a big issue.
That's why I'm asking.
It's not something that I can control, though. Any more than I can control whether relationships last just because I get well.
But it's unhealthy for me the rest of my life to stay overweight.
Oh, me too.
I have an experience. Right now my word is acceptance. And once in my life, every morning when I wake up, I was standing in a degrees out here for... It took me 4 hours to get straight, and I was sleeping only 4 hours when it was the worst case, and it was through a whole year. And I remember one morning when I was standing before, because I make a little task about to just love my body as it was. And one morning I was dealing with, will I make suicide? Because it hurts so much.
Mm-hmm.
And one morning I was saying, if I'm going to live with this in this life, I will accept it. And I have a strong spine today, but I really don't know if I ever will come out of that again. And the day I accepted it, not in my head, but in my heart,
mm-hmm.
Then something happened. And I can't say what's happened, but something happened. So I think the acceptance of, if I'm going to look like this for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. okay, then I have to live with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can use it, but it was what I was thinking about when mm-hmm. I was talking about that. Mm-hmm.
I think that's very different than saying, so what if I'm overweight, I can eat whatever I want and keep myself there. If God's in charge and I'm doing my part and I'm following directions, maybe I'll stand straight, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll lose weight, maybe I won't. Yes.
It's a question about mindset. Mm-hmm. How much do you hold your protégés accountable for them doing the 9 steps? I assume that you tell them how to do it, and then they do it along the way while they are in... I haven't been here yesterday, I haven't been here so much, so I haven't heard all of your talk.
That's a really good question. I don't hold my protégés accountable. They're responsible for their life and their program and their recovery and everything else. I'm there to help support them in that, but it's not my job to make sure they're doing theirs. What I do is usually is I'll tell them to go ahead, after we talk about making that amends, go ahead and make your first amend and then let me know how it goes. Then, you know, I told them my weakness is making sure I tell them all, when we get to this point, is saying everything that needs to be said and giving them all the directions and all that. But making sure, you know, I'll make sure that I tell them that I'm here anytime they have any questions. I talk about not sitting on unfinished amends, that we need to be working on them. And the idea is that people will move from that, the right columns to the left columns as the willingness grows. If you get stuck, you talk to me. If you have a question about an amends, if you want to talk about anything before you make an amends, give me a call. But it's their job. I can't work their program more than they do.
You don't make a first deadline. For example, to say the ones that you have on your column on the left side, like the dues right now, you have to finish them within a week.
God's in charge, because, you know, there may be somebody on that list. I heard a great story once. A guy needed to make an amends. It was to an ex, and he, every time he went home, he thought, I should make that amends, and just had this gut feeling, no, it's not time, it's not time, it's not time. And one day, and she lived on the path that he drove all the time. One day he's driving down the street and heard, it's time. And he pulls into the street and into the driveway, goes up, and he's talking to her and found out that she had just that week gone through a breakup. And, you know, it would have been wrong for him to go up to her before him. But he had no way of knowing. He just prayed and followed the guidance he was given, and things worked. So even though he was ready 2 years earlier it wasn't time. Yes, but just one addition, little thought, is if somebody comes to me and they say I'm struggling with eating, with food, with this, with that, you know, whatever, I'll say, where are you with amends? You know, are you working on them? Are you getting them done? Yes. Yes.
I was thinking about the 11th step, sort of the prayer and meditation, and how does your meditation life look like? What do you do, and how do you use the big book sentences to open and close your day and stuff like that?
Do I use it?
Yeah, how do you use it?
How do I use it? I used to sit in a particular chair in my house and spend morning and night, you know, following the directions for On Awakening and the evening review. What I do now is I do that. I don't use my book. You know, as I'm looking at my day, I just look at my day. I ask God to direct my thinking, divorcing it of selfish, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, And I think, and you know, if there's anything that I have questions about, I ask him for the right thought or action. But I do that lying in bed in the morning as I come to consciousness, before I even open my eyes. I just lie there and spend some time with God right away, because I can get into trouble pretty quickly. So if I do that right away as I wake up in the morning, I got a good shot at the day. And then I do the same thing at night. But I'm in conscious contact with God all through the day. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it was just that, you know, when I get into bed at night, I lie there, and to me that's just a real nice quiet time to spend with God and review and reflect. You know, if something's there that I, you know, I'm aware that I really need to talk to somebody, I'll make sure I get on the phone the next day and discuss it with somebody, but it works for me.
Det er så specifikt engelsk. Jamen jeg om morgenen, så, eller for mange år siden, så hørte jeg en der har delt om til møllen, det der med at bede om villighed til at blive villig. Den gik bare lige ind i hjertet på mig. Så det beder jeg om hver eneste morgen i min morgenbøn.
Vibeke says that years ago, somebody told her that she could ask to be willing to be get the willingness, and that really that's true, yeah. And you took it in and you use that every morning.
Yes.
It's about the 10th step. If you have someone who keeps having the same issue coming up, like that could be, I want my body to be different, or something like that, or like.
I get an example.
Yeah, but like, or something like self hatred or obsession about self, like I have one. Am I in fixed spiritual condition enough? Like, and I can be really self centered around that, and it's just like.
Oh, okay. You're looking at self-centered, you know, the same 10th step around yourself.
Yeah.
Get over yourself. No.
Talk to people with something coming up that's just like, it's just really self-centered.
I don't know if it's any different than the example I was going to use, because it's all self-centered. It's all self-centered. My example was, I've been working with somebody since 2001 who did the whole transition with me. So we've been hanging out for a long time. She rides her bike to work, or she's the only person in the States I know. I just realized that. That's no big deal. But she either on a bike or in a car, she ends up in road rage all the time because the drivers just don't act the way she wants. They ride bicycles off the road. She gets every day. She calls me. I said, wait a minute. Obviously, you don't know how to get behind on a vehicle, in a vehicle, without getting mad. When you go to ride your bike or your car, sounds like pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. She started doing that. She said, you know, I haven't had road rage in a week. And this was a daily thing. I don't think it's any different. If I'm just, you know, am I good enough? Am I doing it right? Before you even start, it's like, okay, God, show me how to do this day. Show me how to do this hour or this minute without thinking about me. Let me, you know, because I don't know. I don't know how to do it. And just focus on God.
What helped me a lot when I worked the steps with Barbara was when we had finished and I got the directions, she went through the 4th step prayers with me, using pointing out the resentment prayer, fear prayer, and she suggested that I should read the paragraph, thank you, about sex and replace it with eating, to know how to approach God instead of using a food plan. Otherwise, I would feel, okay, I'm not to use a food plan as I've done all my life. That wasn't the solution, so what do I do instead? Okay, I go to God. Reading this paragraph about sex, replace it with eating, really, whoa, wow, I can use these prayers on my eating, helping God to help me to live up to his ideal about my eating. And so on. Where did you get that from?
Where did she get that from?
Yeah. Do you do it?
I don't. I know. I opened up the book to see what it is.
It says about sex also. It's God given. It's not to be avoided,
mm-hmm.
And not to be misused. And I can see,
It absolutely fits.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. It was really an eye opener, at the same time a solution. Instead of a food plan, I can use these prayers.
Right.
And
right.
It was very helpful, and still is. The one is, please God, help me live up to your idea for my eating, and just need what eat what my body needs.
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful.
It is. That came from somebody who's, I mentioned a type 1 diabetic at one point who's eating all raw vegan. She's the one that made that connection. It's 5 o'clock. We need to... okay.
Even not making 1 minute yet. Now, this person is in the 10, 11, 12, or how long will it take to come to step 9, going into step 10? Because as I can see it, you go directly to step 10, even though not even one amend has been done. And afterwards, now you're this is your protege, how much do you have in contact afterwards? You have 50 protégés.
As much as is needed. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We don't wait. We need to be in 10, 11, and 12 because that's the solution. We may get a reprieve from taking the first step, third step, fifth step, whatever step along the way, things may ease up. However, there's no guarantee. This is where the guarantee is when we're in 10, 11, and 12. We don't have time to wait. Remember that week or a month? And I couldn't get through a day. We don't know how long it's going to be before we have to eat again. Yes?
It's about the 10th step. I mean, I heard a lot of people, including myself, for the first time, my sponsor told me, you just start with the 10th step right along, and the 11th, and also the 12th. While you're in the first and second and third step, because don't make more mess into the... Yeah.
Well, if you go through the steps quickly, I don't think Julia had time today. If you don't do that, I don't know how it works. In the days of the founders, the guys would go into the hospital to dry out, come out a week later. Now, it's how many days till you get through DTs and you're coherent enough to do the work? They come out in a week, making amends and living this way of life. So the way that this program was done and worked didn't take a year and a half to go through the steps. And the steps are done in order. They were written in order because they build each other. If you haven't done an inventory and seen the selfishness and self-centeredness, when you're watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, are you going to see it in the same way?
No, but perhaps you can do what you see. So, yeah, I did that, I achieved that, perhaps that was not so good enough. Perhaps there was a lot of blind spots you still don't know, but it doesn't have to be a...
But if you just do the work and get through it the way it was done, the simple program here, you eliminate the discussion there because... You just get right to it. The one thing, and you know, I do want to say that we've been talking a lot about in our group is that it takes a lot of practice to get rid of those old ideas around eating and food. And I said it yesterday, I think there are some different people here. We need to be talking about eating and food because it's something we don't know how to do. So if we have questions, we need to talk about practicing the principles in our eating affairs. We go to God in all things. This doesn't say all things except eating. It says all. And eating is part of all. We need to go to God for that too. We're over time now. I think we're done. If anybody has not received a coin, just my little token for all of you, they're here, business cards. Please contact me if there's ever anything I can do to help. Thank you for coming. I hope you had a good time. Mm-hmm.